Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
We're talking football as we do every day here on Bob, Dave, and More with the Professor John Clayton, who's with us. Hello, John.
Hey, we made it through the week so far.
We made it through the week so far. We've gotten through. I think we'll be just fine. We touched on this briefly yesterday, but the word is that Roger Goodell is saying, you know, I know there are objections to the draft being held as scheduled, but tough. We're going to hold the draft, which I think is great personally. I think it's great for sports fans. It gives them something to look forward to, a diversion. Give me your thoughts on him sticking to that game plan, and do you think it's the right thing, or do you think they should delay it?
No, I think it's the right thing, because when you think about the big picture, and we don't know when things are going to start coming back to a point where people can go to offices and you can have assemblings of, 20, 50 people, all those different things. This could be 2 months. And so when do you move it back to? Do you take it from April 23rd and move it back to June 23rd? I mean, all those things I think have to come into play. So I thought before free agency, they should have moved free agency back. I was wrong, because, I mean, free agency may not be flawless. We saw that today with the Michael Brockers deal falling apart in Baltimore and him going back to the Rams and him losing $6 million. But it's been, 98% efficient with everybody working from home. And so if they would have moved everything back in free agency, then you'd have a week now where you couldn't get physicals and get guys passed and get those contracts in. So I think in the same vein, I know it's a pain for the GMs. It's a pain for the coaches. It's going to be, hard for even a guy like John Snyder to communicate to other teams in a 10, 15 minute basis to try to be able to make draft day trades. But what it does do is it puts everybody on guard. And, what you then have is that you'll have a team together. You get to the draft, you come back after 3 days of drafting, and now you've got pretty much your own team. And then you can figure out what else you want to do with other signings. And so you can process, your roster with the only thing that you're not going to be able to do is get that roster on the field, most likely until July.
Hey, John, we were talking earlier about some of the franchises in the NFL, and nobody could answer this better than you. Who are the good ones and who are the bad ones, just perception-wise? Like, I remember the Fords in Detroit when I was playing. They were sort of, their reputation was that they were cheap. Same with the Bidwells in Arizona. Maybe in Cincinnati a little bit, but who are a few of the other good ones, and then who are some of the bad ones that players, would probably want to stay away from?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of wonder right now on the bad side, do you want to go to the New York Jets? Because look at the problems that they've determined in the last year or so. You have a Kamisio Samili who ends up having, some physical problems, and then, of course, they let him go because he thought that they didn't treat him right medically. You see that happening with the Washington Redskins and Trent Williams. But I think that you can see, Ron Rivera's had no problem going for the depth guys that he's been asking for, so that seems to be okay. Jacksonville has been up and down. Right now they're on a down cycle because they've pretty well broken up that team. On the good side, I mean, even though right now New England is basically, falling apart, with now the loss of 10 players, they still, Bill Belichick does as good as anybody. Green Bay does good. Seattle does good. I think that, you can look at, before this year, the Rams had done very, very well, but that's kind of fallen apart. The 49ers are now in a favored area. New Orleans, I think, has done an exceptional job. So, I mean, the good thing is there's more good teams than bad teams, but ultimately what it comes down to is that whatever team you have, if you can get a quarterback, I mean, you can cover for a lot of things. Because even, like, for example, in Houston, Houston, you can see there's problems. I mean, Dwayne Brown got mad at ownership. You've got DeAndre Hopkins. He was mad at Bill O'Brien, and these guys get moved out of there. But Deshaun Watson, who's not the happiest person right now, losing Hopkins and having all the change on offense, he can still keep them on a playoff level.
John, you mentioned Michael Brockers earlier going back to the Rams. I think it's because of a high ankle sprain. So what's the likelihood of him staying with the Rams and playing for the Rams this next year? Or do you think that once things get cleared up and he's able to take a physical that he'll end up elsewhere?
No, he's already made an agreement. Once everything dropped with Baltimore, and of course we got a little tip to that when they bid on Ndamukong Suh, and Ndamukong Suh ended up going back to Tampa. So what's going on with Prockers? Then we find out about the high ankle sprain. But after making that agreement, you know, whatever information they got on the ankle, they said, nope, deal's done. And you're going to see more of this as time goes on, both now and in the future. And so what Brockers did is that he went back to the Rams, and because obviously they know his medical condition because he's been a player since coming in 2012 in the draft, you know, he agreed to a 3-year, $24 million deal. Now that's $2 million a year and $6 million less than what he had agreed to with Baltimore. So this transaction ended up losing him $6 million, but now he's off the street and back with the Rams. But understand what's going to happen here in the future, and it's going to happen when everybody starts to report, is that a lot of these deals are agreed to, but they can't be finalized until you take the physical. So what's going to happen, and this is where I think you involve Jadeveon Clowney, and he's got to watch out on this, is so we've already now had three deals fall apart. And a part of it has to do with the physicals and all those things. So now, if you need to get a physical and you have agreed to a deal, pretty much the idea is when you report, which might be as late as July, then you take the physical. If you fail the physical, either you can get out of the contract or you lose roster bonus money, likely to be earned, signing bonus, some different things like that. And so there's a lot that can come up. So we're going to see more of this. And that's why if you're Jadeveon Clowney, you've got to think about maybe if you have a team that's willing to pay you, but of course you're waiting for the physical, and then all of a sudden you agree to go to that team, and you go to that team, they can fail you on the physical at any time, and all of a sudden you've got nothing.
We got the Professor John Clayton here with us. If you guys have questions for John, just text those questions into 710-710. That's our text number, and if we've got time in this segment, we'll get to your questions for him. Just back to Roger Goodell and his decision to move forward with the draft, John. I saw this in a story where he wrote in a memo, the quote is, "Public discussion of issues relating to the draft serves no useful purpose and is grounds for disciplinary action." What could he do if a GM, let's just hypothetically, if John Schneider came out and said, you know what, this is weak, we this should have been pushed back, this is a big mistake, are they talking just fines to the organization, draft picks, what's disciplinary action in his mind?
Yeah, like anything else, I mean, it could be a combination of both. I think it's going to be more likely fines, not taking away a draft choice, because again, that's what the idea, you want to have the draft and not lose draft choices. But no, it could be a combination of both. But basically what ended up happening is that, Roger, not gloating because he was right on free agency, but came down as like, okay, I've heard your complaints, shut up. Don't say anymore, because if you do, I'm going to come back to hurt you and make you pay. So I think it'd be more fines than anything else. But Rogers come down hard on this, and I think everybody now has no choice but to accept it.
Hey, John, we just talked to Doug Baldwin, and he's doing some great things with the Renton Community Center and volunteering. And Bob, what was the? Does anybody have written down? I want to make sure we get that out there. The where you can go to donate for Doug's charity that he's working with.
Yeah, I'll get it to you in just a second here. Yeah,
FamilyFirstRenton.org.
FamilyFirstRenton.org. And so we had a chance to talk to him. And then I see that Miles Garrett is going to provide 24,000 pounds of food in Cleveland. And Miles Garrett really is a good guy, right? And he's starting to kind of repair that, that image of him swinging his helmet at a quarterback.
Yeah, and of course, I think, one emotional thing on the field shouldn't taint him, but I think it does show you the good qualities he has. And so, no, I thought that was that's a very good gesture on him. What I worry about for Miles is that, they ended up giving a $5 million one-year deal to Jordan Howard. Actually, it was 4.75, and I think that they're going to use a first-round pick on a running back. And so what you worry about is that how buried is he going to be, on the depth chart. But as far as Doug Baldwin, I mean, he's a star. And, even more so is that Dennis Law, who was the former mayor of Renton, was my next door neighbor for a couple years, and he was very much involved with Doug Baldwin, and he speaks so highly because they've worked on these projects now for a couple years, and now you're seeing the benefits of it. But no, I think Doug Baldwin is an absolute gem for this community.
John, what's the latest with Dak Prescott and the Cowboys? It sounds like contract talks are underway again.
Yeah, and you can understand why, because what ended up happening is that Matt Ryan, Ben Roethlisberger, and I'm trying to remember the other quarterback, you know, they all did revised deals. And the way the exclusive tag works is that you take the top five cap numbers of the current players this year at quarterback, and then you take their average, and that's what's going to be your number. Well, what ended up happening is that, Matt Ryan did his deal, I think, on January 5th, and you've got Ben Roethlisberger, you know, doing a cap-friendly deal. Aaron Rodgers shaved a little bit. So now what was once – it should have been – had not been for those deals, you know, about a $33.1 million exclusive franchise number. Then it started free at the beginning of free agency at 31.4. Now it's down to about 26.8. So basically, you know, he's lost, you know, the equivalent of $5 to $7 million. And so it's like if you're now him, I mean, your only choice if you can't get the deal done is to play under that tag. And so I think that gets the incentive there to try to get something done. Now, again, I think that Jerry Jones would like to get this done under the contract of Russell Wilson at maybe 33. But I think there's not enough of a concession right now that they'll probably do something to top it just slightly. So I think he'll end up temporarily being the highest paid quarterback in the league if he can agree to a number. Now, that's going to be short term because two guys will probably top him, Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes at some point. But I think that, you know, the fact that all of a sudden, you know, the system took that number down into the $26 to $27 million range, now you can understand it's like, whoa, wait a second here. I'm losing too much money in this deal.
Hey, John, I saw some quotes from Bruce Arians, who was on a radio show, and he was asked about Antonio Brown. His quote was, yeah, it's not going to happen. There's no room, and it's probably not enough money, but it's not going to happen. It's not a fit here. So is there a fit anywhere after everything we've seen Antonio Brown do and say in the past? And I know he's on the redemption tour and apologizing and trying to repair his image. Do you see a franchise taking a chance on a guy who's in his 30s now, who's been nothing but problematic on and off the field?
I'd say no. And the reason I'd say no is that, coaches have enough problems as it is at the moment. Because, you know, think about if you're a head coach and now they get a new collective bargaining agreement that limits the amount of time that you're going to be on the field. You have a situation with coronavirus that it's going to eliminate all your off-season programs. You know, at least it's not done yet, but it looks like it's going to end up happening. And so you have to put everything together in training camp where you can't afford to take the time out for Antonio Brown and him pouting about not getting the football and him being goofy on all these different things. You don't have enough time for it. And of course, you're also, and you saw this in the beginning of free agency, with a draft this deep as far as wide receivers, you know, why would you want to have that problem when you can get good receivers into the third, fourth, and maybe even the fifth round with 25 wide receivers having third round grades or better? So no, I think right now he's going to have a tough time getting back.
John, I'm looking at Tony Romo. What a great story. I mean, guy comes out of Eastern Illinois as an undrafted free agent. His first year in 2003, he had a $10,000 signing bonus, and he made $235,000 that year. Looks like his last year in the league, he was making $8.5 million. He made $17.26 million. He's getting ready to sign a 10-year deal. $180 million as a broadcaster. That is incredible. Those numbers, I mean, it's more than he ever made as a player.
Yeah, it's amazing to think that here's a broadcaster that's getting quarterback money, you know, because that's more than Andy Dalton. You know, that's more than any backup in the league. It's right. I mean, except for the franchise tag, it was more than Dak Prescott. So, no, I think he deserves it because I think he's very good at what he does. I really enjoy listening to him, and I think that, you know, he's a big draw. And they're not going to pay $18 million a year if you can't, you know, prove it on the air. And I think he's proven it on the air, and he's popular enough that they can really promote him.
Hey, John, is there a chance that the Panthers will be better than everyone thinks they're going to be? Because I'm just looking at with Bridgewater, McCaffrey, and now Robbie Anderson at receiver. They got the makings of a decent offense, don't they?
Yeah, they do, but they've taken so many hits on the defensive side of the ball. That's where I think they're going to have to pay the price, because they're almost going to have to be like Kansas City in Patrick Mahomes' first year as a starter, where they've got to outscore everybody. And again, they've had enough offensive weapons, and they really feel good about what they have on offense. But think about what they've lost on defense. I mean, on the defensive line, they lose Dontari Poe and Gerald McCoy. Luke Kuechly retired. You know, James Bradbury, their best cornerback, you know, he ends up going to the New York Giants. I mean, so they're, I mean, when you look at the defense, and of course they're going to have to use the draft to try to fix all of that up, you know, what you're looking at is they got Shaq Thompson and very little else. And so they do have Kawan Short. So you start with two players there. They got Trey Boston back, but they have so many holes on defense. You know, whatever they score on offense, it may be trumped by what they give on defense.
John, the 425 wants to know, are the Seahawks waiting for Clowney to make a decision before they pursue Everson Griffin?
I think they're just trying to be patient. I mean, I think that you can see the preference is Clowney over Griffin, but I think they also realize that you know, if the deal is under $15 million, you're not going to have a happy Clowney. And so, you know, they haven't put any deadline on that we know of, because if you do, then you make the move on Griffin. But I think that, and this is... this is also where, you know, I think being fair to him, because sure, it may not be, he may not be happy making less than what he made last year, particularly for what he did for this team and what he did for himself, I guess, too. He may not be happy about it, but then what's the alternative? I mean, if he doesn't do anything and he keeps waiting, and again, somebody's going to have to give him a physical. And right now it's going to be hard to do. And even if you pass the physical, you end up going to camp, cause you still may not be able to make it. And so, you know, cause all of a sudden they could pull the deal because of something that maybe you did in aggravating, you know, the hip or whatever it could be, or the core injury. So no, I think at this moment, I think they're trying to say, you know, hey, Jadeveon, it's like, we really want you here. You may not be happy with what we're offering, but we're going to give you every chance in the world to be able to take something, because we think you're that valuable.
Hey, John, Todd Gurley, he was joking around, I guess, about getting fired on his day off. He said he didn't see the release coming. What do you expect from him? Based on all the news we've heard about his knee and everything, what do you expect from him in 2020?
I think he'll have a better year in Atlanta than he did with the Rams, but how much better? You know, because particularly with that knee, the arthritic part of the knee, and, you know, he's slowed down a little bit. I know that Jimmy Graham's fast, but of course, you know, Todd Gurley's probably a little bit faster. But I think what you're looking at is a back that may be, what, 27, 28 years old, that's almost like a 32-year-old running back because of the knee. And so I think he's a back that's going to average less than 4 yards a carry. I think that he can still score touchdowns. He can still make good plays and good decisions, but what you wonder about is he going to be a 1,000-yard back, because, you know, he can't go out there and do 18 to 20 carries a game.
So a lot of talk about the fact that you know, teams can't do physicals and everything. Did he have a physical? Did Atlanta get a chance to look at him before they signed him? I'm assuming they did.
No, I probably didn't. I mean, they might have been able to, because because I know what ended up happening, talking to a couple of general managers, is that, you know, they sensed something like this was going to come as far as the physicians. And so there was like a mad scramble. Like, I know this happened on Cam Newton. You know, they tried to make sure that they got him down to Atlanta as fast as they could to take a physical. And when he pretty much failed the physical, then they let him go. And so now I think there was a big scramble, particularly on some of the guys that got agreements in that. But, they're still in that void right now where my guess would be that Gurley has not had a physical. And the reason I even say that is, so far they've not even posted his contract on the waiver wire, and it's not in the cap yet. And so, no, I think that at the moment it's pretty well set that he hasn't had the physical yet.
John, we got big news in Dallas where Greg Zuerlein, I never know if he's Greg the Leg or Legatron anymore, but he's going to be the kicker for the Cowboys, 3 years, $7.5 million. Why'd the Rams let him go?
Well, I mean, basically, And particularly now, they ended up with a $8 million a year on Michael Brockers. They almost couldn't afford him. And so, which is amazing because, I mean, here's Greg the Leg, and he's only making $2.5 million. You think about that. I mean, most of the kickers that ended up getting deals were all in that $4 to $4.4 million a year range. And here's, one of the most talented kickers in the game. In fact, I know I voted for him as an all-decade player, because he's been so good for so long, and he's only 32. I just find $2.5 million pretty cheap. You think they should have been able to re-sign him, but now that's now another need for the Los Angeles Rams.
John, the owners are going to vote next week on a proposal to add one more team from each conference to the playoffs. Any reason to think this won't go through? Is there any resistance to this as far as owners go?
Yeah, there are probably some, but I have to think it's going to go through because for a couple reasons. I mean, first off, it's, more football, which I think the league likes and the owners like. Secondly, it, generates, I don't know if it's $400 million or $500 million that's going to go in for revenue for the two games that are going to be added. But I think even more so with the way this season is going to be, because of the coronavirus that, it now allows because remember, here's where some of the problems are going to be coming up. I mean, you got five new coaches, and they're not going to be able to get their players probably to a training camp. You got quarterback changes like crazy, and they're not going to be able to work with the teams until quarterbacks. And so you're going to have so much up and down and, of course, slow starts and all those different things in training camp and into the start of the season that what it does, it just keeps more teams involved because some teams are going to be good, some teams are going to be bad, and now you throw all that together and, now you have a chance to at least, make the best out of a bad situation, and so it just adds two teams that may have fallen a little bit short because of the off season and whatever happened, and I think it just gives them more chance to enjoy the season for their fans.
Well, I wonder if the players are going to be against that because that's two more teams that have to play 17 games.
Well, what do you mean? Well,
that's
no,
just
remember,
my wise
it's 16
of the
games
day.
This year. there's no 17th game this year.
There is for those guys, those extra teams that make the playoffs, John.
Oh, yeah, but of course, you're making the playoffs and you get an extra check for that. So I think they can accept that plus the thrill of being in the playoffs because, particularly this is really going to help the AFC because, again, they have so many young quarterbacks and at least it gets your young quarterback who's on his rookie contract because there could be as many as 10 to 11 of those guys. It gets them a chance to get a playoff game. So I don't think the players are going to resist. They don't have a choice, but in this case, I think that the players are going to welcome it and I think the owners are going to vote it in.
Hey, John, we got a question from the 425. He's wondering how you and Pat are doing.
Doing okay. I mean, under the circumstance, one of the things that I ended up doing, because, I have to go out every night and get food for Pat, is that I end up hiring a chef. And so what I do is I have the chef come on a Wednesday, and he's very good. And so what he'll do is, create entrees for maybe 4, 5, or 6 days. And, he came here on Wednesday, Ivan, and Ivan was able to cook up a pizza that she just loved, with mushrooms, garlic, and chicken. And then, cooked a real good group of chickens that has, asparagus and rice. And so that seems to be going over pretty good, but, unfortunately, no Friday night date night.
John, we appreciate it. You doing your show tomorrow?
Yes, from 8 until 9.
All right. We'll tune in, and we will talk to you next week.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, there you go. John Clayton with us every day. If you missed any of today's Cold Hard Facts, brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill, download the podcast at 710sports.com. Well, we could all use a laugh right now, so we've got a guest that will help us with that and give us some insight into how the comedy world is being impacted during the coronavirus crisis. Our buddy Adam Ray will join us next year with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
Well, as we've been saying through this entire thing while we're all on lockdown together, we're trying to become a diversion for people, take your mind off what's happening in society. And what better way to do that than bring in one of the funniest guys you're ever going to hear? In fact, Last time we talked to him, he was in studio before the world came crumbling down. He's one of the best out there in the world of comedy. He's with us on the Zeke's Pizza Hotline. Our buddy Adam Ray is here. Adam, what's going on, man?
What up, fellas? Bob, can you imagine if I had been quarantined in Enumclaw? I mean, just imagine the lack of resources and toilet paper. Actually, for whatever reason, I feel like they have too much TP down there.
Adam, let me ask you about that. Let me ask you on the toilet paper thing. Why has that become the craze? Why toilet paper, Adam?
You know what? I don't because first of all, I think it is fascinating that when stuff really does, come to a screeching halt, we get to discover what our true provisions are as a nation. And look, there must be a lot of people out there that are like, I don't own that many shirts that I don't like. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, let's break it down. How many benefit tees and giveaway tank tops from sporting events that you really are like, that's going to be a one wipe toss in the trash type move, So that's, but also look, just be sparing with your food intake. Like, you're not going to need that much teepee if you're not pounding Hot Pockets and filling your bathtub with fruit by the foot like Madonna's doing. Please tell me you saw that photo of Madonna, or I think it was a video, actually. That's the one thing that I do enjoy that some of these celebs are taking. Oh, dude. Well, Dave, you have your weekend set. Just Google Madonna bathtub again. And just get ready to see, what the celebrities, how the stars really are just like us, which is, bathing in children's lunch snacks. I do appreciate the concerts that they're doing. I don't know if comedy is going to get there where we're doing, full on streaming shows. Although the Laugh Factory in Los Angeles just started, but I don't know. I watched a few of them and I might participate when I get back in town, but it's so different without the audience. You know what I'm saying?
Well, how are you killing time then, Adam? I found myself last night watching some show I'd never heard of called Tiger King, and it was the strangest, most bizarre show I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, they actually. Rumor has it that that's loosely based on Mike Salk, but we'll have to do a little bit more digging to see if that's really if that's a true story. I don't know if he owned the zoo, but he definitely sold underwear with his face on it. I know that for a fact. You can quote me on that. But I do. Yeah, I mean, there's no shortage of content out there. I think this is the time. And that's why you see movies starting to make a quick exit from the theater to the homes, because they realize, people are just starved and thirsty for new things to watch. If I can make one recommendation, and I know, first of all, my condolences, Jim, I know, this social distancing has really put the damper on your armchair, I'm sorry, your arm wrestling competitions that you do on the bus with strangers. So I first of all, I want to offer up my, I'm so sorry that you're having to look for competition with, with nobody elsewhere. But Arnold Schwarzenegger on Instagram, I cannot recommend this show enough. I just reposted a clip on my Instagram at Adam Ray Comedy. This dude, not only did he do a 5-minute video on how to wash your hands, all you do is you walk over to the sink, you put your hands on the, and you do one at a time, and you scrub and you wash, and you think to yourself, oh, thank goodness I have hands that I can scrub, and you use soap. He was acting like he just discovered how to wash your hands. And I couldn't take my eyes off it. I was like, I'm going to have to hit pause on the Madonna bathtub video just to get the full experience of Arnold cleaning his palms. And then he's got a llama and a donkey and a pony. And he's feeding them salad. He's like, you guys want some food? Come get some salad. And then one of them tried to take a big bite of his spinach, and he stiff-armed his pony. He was like, back off. It's not your salad. You're the one that invited him for a bite in the first place. I mean, it's like a whole extra. It's like, I feel like, and so part of me is obviously bummed out that we are having to go through this. But, hey, man, we would never have gotten this inside look into Arnold's, pony farm, had we not endured this. But killing the time, Jim, is, thankfully, for me, voiceover podcasting is still I can still do remotely. You know, I'm doing a lot of Instagram lives with comedians. I've actually been DMing with GP the Glove just about basketball, and I wore a Gary Payton shirt on Lights Out with David Spade about a month ago, and he hit me up, and he'd done my podcast about 4 or 5 months ago, and he hit me up, and you know, we just started chatting, and so I think in the next couple of weeks we're gonna do an Instagram live because that's, you know, it's a time killer, but it's also, you know, you got to take advantage of providing content to people. And I see more and more people, you know, staying active. And, you know, there is a downside to it. You see some comedians really stretching their skill sets and posting things. And you're like, that probably was better left just thought in your head and not posted out for the world on the internet. But, you know, I definitely am reconnecting with more members of my family. I'm definitely getting into political debates on Facebook with friends from high school I haven't talked to in 20 years and then blocking them at 2 in the morning. so that's fun. If you haven't done that, highly recommend it. Take a shot of tequila, get on Facebook, and let the good times roll. I know
yeah, start,
what I'm talking about.
Start sharing opinions.
start sharing opinions that nobody asked for. But, you know, you know, you guys have been a giant source of comfort, so thank you. This is my favorite show, and you guys are just, you know, that, there's a handful of things I immediately thought of when this, you know, started to kind of creep into our everyday lives about the things, you know, I was going to miss. It was like Costco samples. I was like, yikes, you know, we're losing that. That's a big one. You know, I feel bad for the Houston Astros having to steal signs from home. That's got to be an adjustment. But I do think that there's, you know, something great that can come out of this as far as, you know, taking advantage of the downtime. But you guys are all doing it remote right now, right? Are you guys all in a hot tub just like 5 feet apart? What's going on?
No, we're all at our individual homes, luckily for us. Hey, Adam, before we let you go, man, I gotta ask you. We were talking earlier last week about a poll that the Seattle Times ran about, you know, fans, when this whole thing is done and you get the all clear, how likely are you to return to games, you know, with a building full of people?
Oh, yeah.
And it was like 55% said yes and all of that. As far as you go, is there going to be any apprehension with you? I mean, because you get out there, you do meet and greets, and you're out there touring the entire country and talking to people and on planes all the time. Is that going to be a hard thing to resume, or do you feel like when they tell you it's good to go, you're going to be fine with it and pick up like nothing ever happened?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I think a lot of people are trying to figure that out right now. I think shows, you know, slowly started to trickle down city to city, club to club, being like, all right, all of our rooms are over, you know, 200 capacity. And so, you know, everyone's going to be as careful as possible. But when it does resume, I think it's going to be like a case by case basis where I think some people will start to come out. I think some cities that haven't been hit as hard, look, people are going to be starved for entertainment and comedy. But I do think that's going to be, I think it's going to be the quickest for people to fill up and come out to once it's fully resumed. But I think it might be one of the last things to resume. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if comedy shows don't resume until, you know, late June, early July. And I hope it's sooner because I cannot, I can't have my email inbox filled with any more emails from like Men's Warehouse being like, we're all in this together. And you're like, dude, I haven't talked to you guys since my bar mitzvah. What are you hitting me up for? You know, Jamba Juice is like, remember to wash your hands. Stay safe out there. You're like, dude, you guys, lower the price on an orange dream machine, and then we can start getting a dialogue going. But I, you know, I do think that it's brought out the best in people and the worst, because the last shows I did in Dallas 2 weeks ago, there was a guy after that was like, I'm not even going to drink the beer anymore. He's like, this is crazy, man. I don't even drink Corona beer anymore. And I was like, how stupid. Like, to combine those two things, I was like, this, and these are the types of people that complain when they get bad sushi on airplanes. You know, these types of dum-dums where you'll be like sitting next to them and they're like, dude, I'll tell you who has bad California rolls, Delta Airlines. You're like, dude, just walk into the ocean, and that is the ultimate social distancing. But, you know, hopefully we resume sooner than later, man, and hopefully I can get in studio and meet Dave live in the flesh, because, you know, I've got two out of three of my favorite show, and I need to get the trifecta going. Because right now, the only way I meet Dave is when he's on my desktop screensaver before I go to bed, and that's not good enough.
Oh, that's not weird that's at disturbing.
All. That's not weird
that
at all.
That is disturbing.
Oh, dude, you're the one that made it weird, dude. Take a compliment in 2020.
He is I'm honored. Ray. I'm honored, Adam.
You can okay, follow him on Twitter. Yeah. At Adam Ray Comedy on Twitter. What's the Instagram handle?
It's at also Adam Ray Comedy. And, you know, go listen to my albums, Read the Room and Songs for the People. I've got tons of YouTube stand-up clips online. And GP and I are going to be going live here in the next few weeks. But, yeah, just follow Instagram, Twitter, check out the albums, and stay tuned. I also have a cartoon coming out on Hulu. It's a Medieval Times claymation show. It's and it's filthy. It's by the guys that do Robot Chicken. That Seth Green. It's me, Seth Green, Tony Hale, and it comes out I think mid-May on Hulu. It's called Crossing Swords. So be on the lookout for that. Oh, and Jadavian Clowney, if you're listening, sign the contract.
Adam, we appreciate
on,
it, man. Thanks
I'll give
so much.
You five free rolls of toilet paper. Yeah.
I love Take care, man.
We got to get that guy back on anytime.
Oh,
anytime.
He's great. He is so good, and he's from here, and he's done some big things, and will continue to do big things. One of the funniest people out there. Our thanks to Adam Ray. Coming up, Peyton Manning crashed a University of Tennessee online class yesterday. We'll hear more about that when we sweep the dial with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore. Sweeping the dial. Streaming everywhere on the 710 Seattle Sports app and 710sports.com.
If you were here, I'd be making you run the stadium steps for being late.
I understand. Well, these are unique circumstances. I'm sure this is the first virtual Zoom class you've taught in many years, I would think. I just wanted to drop in and say hello to all the fellow communication students there and realize this is a unique time and probably not the ideal way you guys expected to spend your senior year. But I just encourage you to keep a positive attitude, keep working like you're doing.
There you go. There's Peyton Manning surprising Tennessee students by crashing their online course. How cool is that? Peyton Manning, whether even Mora has to love him as a hardcore Patriots fan. I don't know how you can't love Peyton Manning.
Yeah, I think when I first realized that he was going to be a good personality, it was, I don't know if you guys remember the interview, and I don't remember what the kicker did, their punter or their kicker popped off. Yeah, and so he was at the Pro Bowl, and he goes, here we are, and it's beautiful here, and there's palm trees, and playing with all these great players, and we got our idiot kicker back home popping off about whatever, and I thought, okay, I'm gonna like this guy.
didn't he say he was getting liquored up, or idiot kicker getting liquored up? And
he might have said that, yeah.
That's pretty cool, too. Can you imagine being one of those students and seeing Peyton Manning show up on your online class? And I guess It was a professor that Peyton Manning had himself a long time ago.
Tom has had an affinity for him because of his work ethic. Now, forget all the other antics, but just how he works on the field and in practice is—it's one of the—it's top of the line.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
There you go.
Not gonna happen. There's no room.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably not enough money, but it's just not going to happen. It's not a fit here.
Interesting. Well, there is room though, because you lost Perriman. I don't know if he says I'm coming in on the veteran minimum, coach. I just want to play with Tom. You still wouldn't find a way to get him in?
No.
Wow. Is it just because you don't trust what he could do to the culture? Why so steadfast that you would not give it a chance?
Yeah, I just know him, and it's not a fit in our locker room.
How about that? Bruce Arians not even playing around, not even giving the politically correct, the political way of speaking around something without answering it. No, Antonio Brown will not be here. I know him.
Well,
he's not going to be here.
Yeah, and I don't know. I know he was coaching in Pittsburgh, but that was probably before Antonio Brown was there, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, he's also got a couple of female coaches on his staff, and you know, I just think he's seen enough of his antics that he does. I'm all in with him. Now, I would say I'm all in on Antonio Brown because he's a great athlete. As soon as he gets fixed, you know, as soon as he gets everything taken care of, but for now, it doesn't seem like that's gotten done. And so, yeah, I admire him, I guess, not for doing that, but for knowing that he has, you know, he has a pretty good grasp on what the culture of his team is. And, you know, the fact that he says that makes me think that he's got pretty good chemistry on his team.
I like the way that those guys...
Rob Manfred on Monday morning. I said, Rob, you know, I've got an idea. We could actually take the fabric that we make jerseys with and use it to make both masks and gowns. It's the same fabric that we make jerseys with. And Rob's first question was, this is amazing. How do you do this as quickly as possible? And I said, hey, you worried about running out of materials for jerseys? He says, Michael, let's just focus on how do we make these masks and gowns as quickly as possible.
All right, Jim, let's get your thoughts on this one first, since you didn't get a chance to chime in. But that's Michael Rubin, the CEO of Fanatics, who joined SportsCenter, talking. They're halting productions on jerseys, and they're going to make gowns and face masks out of jersey material for hospitals. I think that's a really cool, very cool thing to do.
Well, yeah, it's a great story. Yeah, they're million masks and gowns, as you said there. And so it's been about a limited partner with we talked to Michael Bradley earlier this week. They had that issue, pay their employees, and then they did an about face on that. And so now it's turning into a really good news win-win for everybody. And this really good news, what Michael Rubin's doing there with Fanatics.
Yeah, I think Doug mentioned a company here locally that was, I wish either texted in or maybe you guys remember, but there's a local company that switched over to making masks, some kind of, you know, mouth covers or something like that. So that's very cool that you see. And also it's a pretty heroic effort, you know, turning your operation around like that and making something totally different. Pretty cool.
All right, coming up, Gil Brandt, who's a longtime executive of the Dallas Cowboys and now an analyst. He did a 2012 redraft. Obviously, that's when Russell Wilson came out. We'll let you know how he summed up Russell versus everybody else in that redraft. That's coming up next with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.